Last fall, there was an exhibit that some of you may have visited. It was on the works of Norman Rockwell. The official Rockwell Museum is in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, in the western part of the Commonwealth, in the Berkshires. It houses his studio where many of his works were painted, and many of the people featured in his illustrations actually lived. One of the more famous of his artwork is entitled The Four Freedoms. It is a series of four oil paintings created in 1943. They refer to President Franklin Roosevelt's January 1941 Four Freedoms State of the Union Address, in which the president identified essential human rights that should be universally protected. The paintings were reproduced in the Saturday Evening Post over four consecutive weeks, along with essays that address the specific freedoms. The four freedoms are freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, freedom from fear. Although Rockwell has been dismissed as nothing more than a nostalgic illustrator and not an artist, an opinion voiced, no doubt, by the pompous and arrogant elite who see themselves as the sole judge and jury of all things cultural, I disagree. When you look at the works of Rockwell, especially the Four Freedoms, there is a simple but profound quality to what he depicts and to what we hold as important as Catholics, as people of faith, as citizens, as Americans. In fact, this time last year, most of us would have agreed that those four freedoms are so ingrained in our lives that we took them for granted. We never thought they'd be threatened. But this Christmas, it's still fresh in our minds that freedom of worship was deemed non-essential by a number of elected officials, made all the more unbelievable because some of them professed to be Catholic. Then as people lost their jobs and livelihoods, freedom from want was threatened. And then in the last months of the cancel culture, freedom of speech was now at risk. But then freedom from fear, depicted in the Rockwell painting as children being tucked into bed by their mom, as their dad holds a newspaper describing the German bombing of London. The message is clear. Those children were safe in their beds in the United States, safe from the horrors of war of Nazism. Freedom from fear. It's unusual to talk about fear during the celebration of Christmas, yet it exists this year. Smaller family gatherings with the shadow of grief and uncertainty present. Last week in the Wall Street Journal had an article about the darker side of Christmas. Regina Hansen was the writer, and she begins by saying the joyous celebration of the birth of Christ has always been an occasion for melancholy, nostalgia, particularly when families are separated by war or other tragic events. Many cultures have similar traditions about a Christmas visitor who punishes bad children rather than bringing presents to good ones. Another source of this darkness comes from the season, since it's celebrated during the darkest and shortest days of the year. But she concluded that winter ends and summer returns, and so too wars and pandemics eventually end. For Christians, the infant Jesus, who grows up to die on the cross, rises at Easter. Darkness of Christmas may be an indispensable part of the holiday, but it's absorbed into the celebration of joy. It is good to see so many of you here this evening for Mass, but we know that this isn't the case throughout our country. There are some here tonight or watching at home who may approach this Christmas with some fear. You are not alone. because the Christmas Gospels remind us of others who were afraid at some point. Joseph in Matthew's Gospel was afraid when he found that Mary was expecting a child, but as accounted in that Gospel, the angel says to him in a dream, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Joseph, described as a just man, that is, a man who followed the law of Moses, trusted God. And so he overcame his fear and did what is right, God's will, and took Mary into his home. But Mary, too, was afraid when she heard the greeting of the angel Gabriel. But the angel said to her, "Mary, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." Gabriel, we know, went on to tell her that she was to conceive and bear a son by the Holy Spirit. Mary trusted God and God's will for her, and so she overcame her fear and said yes to what God was asking of her. And then the gospel we heard this evening from Luke, the shepherds are afraid. The gospel says that when the angel appears to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them, they were terrified. "Do not be afraid," the angel tells them. "For behold, I proclaim to you the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah and Lord." And those shepherds trusted God. They went to Bethlehem, saw the child, and returned to their flocks, glorifying and praising God. We all experience fear in our lives, some more than others, some a lot more than others. And sometimes it occurs in years, months, and days of our lives. But these last months, we know, have caused a great deal of fear. But we are a people of faith, struggling, stumbling, questioning. And maybe a few of you here tonight are here at the invitation of a family member or a friend. You're conscious of imperfections and sins and burdens. But Christmas helps us move from fear to greater trust. Somehow it's easier to trust God at Christmas. At this time, we feel that God is very close to us and very loving. In Jesus, God comes to us as a vulnerable baby. How can we be afraid of an infant? A question underlying our strong pro-life stance as Catholic Christians. The initial reaction of the shepherds was terror. We will always be terrified of meeting God if we keep thinking that we must be worthy of meeting him. No, the angel urged them to let go of their fear, and only then did the wonder of the night begin to enter into their souls. And they spoke of it, and everyone who heard them was astonished. In the mystery of the baby breathing in the manger, we are reminded that God breathes his spirit into the darkness of our lives. He loves us, and he opens for us a promising future. Jesus in our midst can help us change our view of life, restore our sense of dignity, and enable us to bring his love and peace to others. This night, our Savior comes among us as an infant and makes the world holy and good and helps us realize that we are called to be a people of hope. As I say each Christmas midnight mass, before you leave, try to visit the manger and pause and offer a prayer of thanks for what you have. but especially the freedom of worship and the freedom from fear. Look at the baby Jesus and know that by becoming man, he gives each of us divine worth and greatness. The newborn child who came in poverty teaches us that there's greatness in humility, glory in service, and power in seeking and following God's will. For those here tonight, this morning, who still carry burdens of sadness or loneliness, know that Christmas brings that assurance that no matter how dark are the days, God loves us and wants to free us from worry and grant us a peace that the world cannot give. Trust him, for in God's will is our peace. Merry Christmas.